So we are going to be taking some time to look at what we had started for a couple of, just yesterday, my quiet time and I. So anything that I teach you, it's almost like God introducing us to it. Some of us, we might have already done it, but we're not consistent at it. But I believe strongly that God is calling us to having this as a habit so we can have more of His help come to us. Amen. So we're looking at my quiet time and I. It's called quiet for a reason. See, normally, names are not just names, right? They carry a certain truth or a certain reality. Many times in the Old Testament, they called people names according to their circumstances. So every nomenclature or every name, within every name is a character, right? So the reasons why we have somebody called maybe Joy is probably because when she was born, her parents had so much joy. She was like maybe the only child, and that's why they call her Joy. Or, you know, when they gave birth to such a person, they realized, the lot of good things that are starting to happen ever since this child came. So they call that child a name that reminds them of a certain circumstance. So similarly, there's also a reason why it's called a quiet time. Quiet as it has, it means that you are going to be maintaining some form of quietness. Now, I'm going to help differentiate, you know, what it means to be quiet and what it means to be still. Right? So when we say that, when we say something is quiet or a place is quiet, it's more relating to an external environment. We're giving a lot of high sounds, we can say the place is not quiet. But in the context of what we're trying to learn, stillness, on the other hand, is of the soul. I told you yesterday that the reasons why you must continually have a quiet time is because you want to still the soul. So Bible says that be still and know that I am God. So that stillness doesn't mean your environment should be quiet. No, he's talking about right there on the inner man. There is supposed to be an overwhelming presence of peace and calm. Why? Because we know that He is our God. So, quiet time, oftentimes, many of the times we deal with, those times extend now, quietness, with the intention to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. So you have a dedicated period of personal prayer, a dedicated period of reflection, meditation, Bible reading, that set time or set season of the day. Many of the times in the mornings, early in the mornings, I know we don't like to hear early in the mornings, but it's true. I will show that to you throughout our teaching session. It's going to come up at a point. But quiet times are mostly in the mornings. You can have a quiet time in the evening. But if I showed you the scriptures and how patriarchs went about it, you realize that it's the first thing that you get on, aside the distractions of the day, and aside the things that come in to make you very busy and very noisy, right? So you have a time, an opportune time. And I said it's often done in solitude. So you're going to be alone. Somebody cannot be bashing Shatawale in the next room, such that it gets right. In fact, you're even harming it in your soul. So as much as possible, now sometimes we might not have those environments, but as much as possible, the places should be quite conducive, right, for these kind of events or these kinds of happenings, right? So you set aside some dedicated time for quietness, for solitude, with the intent to cultivate a very close relationship with God and also to develop a deeper understanding of His will and His purpose for our lives. So it's a great opportunity that we have to be able to align our thoughts, desires, actions with God's purposes, the Spirit. So as believers, this must become something that you are prioritizing to be able to do. Prioritize having a quiet time. I said in these times you're going to be quiet, you're going to be personally praying, reflecting, meditating, reading the Bible. There could also be some instances of journaling, you know, because journaling is a very spiritual activity. You know, in the very demonic world, which I don't want to talk about, but I still have to talk about it, unfortunately. There's a kind of journaling that, you know, you go to sit in front of somebody who is possessed. And the person just picks up a pen randomly and empties their mind, of course, ready to receive from that source of a spirit which is demonic. And then they start to journal. And they will write things about you, write things about your life, write things about what's going to happen. And at that point in time, the person is under the influence of a spirit. But that's not what the Christian is supposed to do in journaling. He's not supposed to free his mind so that some random thoughts just jumps in. No. He's going to have his mind stayed on God's word. And while he interacts and while he thinks on God's word, he's going to have things to write. He's going to have things to write. And when he has things to write, he mostly will realize that those things that he writes communicates directly to him. For those of you who like writing a lot, it is a powerful tool. Yeah. Because even myself, before I write something on a status, because many times something comes to me, you know, on my status, I sometimes pay attention whether the Spirit of God is writing that status particularly for me. Because many of the times you will not really know like that. It just comes to your mind as a writing. So you who is a writer must be careful to say, okay, this one is not for a Facebook share. It's actually for you. Because there are things that you could write to post on Facebook and those things are actually for you. Yeah, those things are actually for you. So, we must pay attention even to the things that we write. So, journaling. So, in quiet time, we're going to be praying, we're going to be reading, we're going to be quietly, intuitively pondering, thinking, staying on God's word. We're going to be meditating on what God wants us to do. We're going to reflect on your faith journey. You're going to also, as you pray, pay attention to the guidance that the Spirit of God brings to your heart. The wisdom that comes to you. I was telling people that wisdom, real wisdom from the Spirit of God, it comes from the belly or it comes from the heart. Yeah, it's almost like an emotion coupled with words mixed together on what the situation should be like. Yeah, it doesn't come from the empty head. It comes from within. So wisdom actually comes from the heart. It comes from the spirit. Many times I've had that happen. And there's just sometimes I'm thinking on something And then, you know, it just rises up very slowly in the situation as to what needs to be done. Yeah, it rises up slowly from the inside. It doesn't come straight from there. It comes from the inside. Okay, don't do it like this. Okay, be patient about this. Because sometimes the mind is wanting to get angry. The mind is wanting to react. Sometimes too, the mind is wanting to be foolish. Sometimes the mind is wanting to be stupid. Wanting to take a rash reaction. But you see, wisdom just comes in there and lingers in the heart, lingers in the belly, you know, just on the inner part of a man's place. And it rises up gradually, gradually. And then you come to say, oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. So it's from the place of quietness and stillness that we have some of these blessings that Christ manifested in on the inside of us. So a quiet time is so important. I said yesterday, we become too busy. We're moving from here to there, from one place to the other, from one spot to the next, talking from one person to the other, the whole day on our. When you press your phone too much, don't you see, when you are very spiritual, you are not happy too much. Yeah, it's like your spirit is not too at ease, that you are always pressing your phone. Yeah, sometimes you need to put the phone down. You need to put the phone down. And sometimes it's what would I call it? It's a feeling of something that is loathsome. It's like the more you press your phone, the more loathsome you become. You become loathsome. It's like a lot of things just cloud your mind. And it's an empty sort of a clouding. It's empty. You can't point out exactly what is clouding your mind, but it's an empty clouding. So 6 hours, you're on your phone. You don't even know what you did. In those 6 hours, you can't pinpoint what exactly it is. So you can't pinpoint exactly what it is. Maybe a few, how do you call it, funny skits that you watch that you will be able to remember. Even those ones, you might not be able to remember all the 30-second skits, 40-second skits, 1 minute, 20-second skits that you watch. So sometimes you must put the phone down. Listen to me, you bought the phone. The phone didn't buy you. And you bought the phone. You use your money to buy the phone. So when you say phone, sit down. Don't let it be calling you uselessly. Because you bought the phone. The phone didn't buy you. So you can put it down and say, this phone, I'm not going to touch it. I bought you. You didn't buy me. So that's just by the way. So on quiet times, you're going to learn to deal with distractions. Things that distract you. And then you're going to listen, pay to what God's word is saying, to what God is showing you, to what God is revealing to your heart as you stay quiet before Him. We're going to look at some interesting things that happen when you have a quiet time. You can't say, please say, I'm having a quiet time with my friend. No, a quiet time is a quiet time with the Lord. I remember Yonggi Cho shared a story, great man of God, one of the largest churches that ever existed in South Seoul. And he was a very young missionary and sort of like evangelist. And so he planted a church and he had to come home, I think every Saturday or Friday evening. And then he preaches, he gets ready for church, preaches. And then on Sunday evening into Monday, he's gone back into the field. So he just had a newly wedded married wife. I mean, married woman who happens to be his wife. And then his mother-in-law came to visit them some time ago. So he said when he came back from the field, that means he used to spend maybe a day or two, just a day or two maximumly with his family, with his wife. So his mother-in-law called him and said, Cho. And then he said he knew that there was trouble because for your mother-in-law to call you means there's trouble. So his mother-in-law called him if he wanted to have his wife living with him all through. And he said, yes, why not? And his mother-in-law said, she is quite certain that it is not going to happen because the woman is going to leave him. Because he's out on the field for several days, sometimes into several weeks, and she doesn't get to see him. So he was put in fear by that statement. So he had to come back because his wife was getting depressed. He was always not around, always caring for other people, always praying, always preaching, always evangelizing. Yes, and so his wife came back. I mean, he came back to his wife and he explained to his wife. And then he told his wife that, okay, in the week, I'll give you one day. One day. So I'll choose just one day. Or you will choose just one day. So that on that whole 24-hour session, I'll hang out with you. So he said, the wife was happy with that suggestion, so she chose a Monday. So on Monday, 24 hours, he told the lady, and then you know, he had 24 hours for her, married woman. And so he realized that the lady started becoming happy and blissful, and very loving and very cheerful once again. Now, why do you think the lady becomes very lovely and cheerful and happy? And is now communicating. He said he had never seen his wife like that before. She could actually talk, he said. She could actually talk, but he said he never knew that she could talk like that. Right? It's because the lady had been given some time. Right? She had been given some time. Some time. We'll have these conversations when we start getting married or married to be, how do you call it, counseling sessions. But now everybody's head is hot. 24 hours is a lot. A whole day. Oh, that's a lot. So you realize that he now starts to listen to the lady, now starts to know his wife, now starts to love his wife, and now starts to have time with his wife. Now, the Holy Spirit is likened to this personality, right? Of a friend, a lover, a comforter, a father, a teacher. He's everything that God would be to us in the earth today. But some of us get too busy on just having that quiet time. That, you see, all through the day, you're moving around and doing a lot of things. But that quiet time is that time where you actually sit down and you allow him to talk to you, and you read on God's word, and you think on God's word, and you ponder on God's word. I can assure you, if you're not having this, I'm not sure that you will have a lot of depths in intuitions or ponderings in God's word. So you need to start building this relationship. And you do that by having a quiet time. You are quiet. You are listening. So you're just listening. You're taking that time to read. I'll practically show you everything about a quiet time. So your questions are going to be answered. But we're going to look at a number of things that happen during a quiet time. Number one, during your quiet time, you develop your most important relationship with the Lord. So there's a reason why I shared Dr. Yonggi Cho's story with you. Because every relationship gets deeper when you spend quality time with each other. So when you spend quality time with God in quiet, you start to get the relationship that you have with Him. You spend time with Him. So it helps you develop a relationship with God. In fact, it's the most important relationship that you will ever develop. I was speaking to one married man. Was I speaking to him? No, I wasn't speaking to him. I overheard him speaking. And then there was a loud argument, a lot of pastors, a lot of loud arguments. So I was just quiet and I was listening. Many times I don't involve myself in arguments. You hardly. It's very difficult. I would listen all through. I probably might not even have anything to say. So I was just there and I was listening. And he said something. He said that, you men of God are thinking that every time marriage is just enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment. So I'm giving you 6 to 8 months, 1 year, quarter, quarter. You get tired of meeting with the lady. You get tired of being intimate with her. And now you are just friends in the room. Yeah. Don't worry. And this experience, he's been married for over maybe 10 years or 8 years. So I kept quiet and I was listening. I said, oh, so these things that they've been saying, I think it's true. You see that? Yeah, I think it's true. But what actually keeps the union going is that genuine relationship. It's like now you can talk as friends. You can talk as brothers. You can talk as family. And that's what God wants to have with you. He doesn't just want you having a very ecstatic experience of one time that you lifted up your voice and you prayed and a testimony happened, $1,000 for you through somebody. And after that time, you've not had anything to do with him up until, you know, the time that you have or the time that you are in. So God is not interested in you having just a one-time experience. He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to think on his word. And then he further drops his wisdom into your mind. So a quality thing that happens during a quiet time is that you learn to develop the most important relationship of your life. It helps you have a regular time with your Creator and with the one with whom you serve. So there is a regularity to your quiet time. There's a regularity to your quiet time. So during that time, you're going to be building the most important personal habits of all time. A time with your Creator. A time where you're just thinking about Him and Him alone. Thinking about His Word. Thinking about just reflecting and praying sometimes quietly. And just loving on Him. Sometimes just a season of worship. You know, just a season of worship. Where you're up and awake and it's not your Facebook that you look to first or you flip to first. A season where you're just worshiping the Lord and blessing the name of the Lord in the quietness of that environment. Number two, a few things that happen during a quiet time. It makes you read the most important book, which is the Bible. Many people would never read the Bible if they never had a quiet time. Because they're too busy. Busy in the world, busy in the activities, busy with one or two. No, there's a time where you must set for the Lord. And you say, I want to have a quiet time. You have an early morning class, 6 o'clock. Well, you probably might want to have it just before you go to bed. But many times, and most times, you should, you know, aim for a smart goal of accomplishing it in the morning. But sometimes it's just very tough that you can't be able to do it in the morning. It means you must have that time where you are quiet before the Lord. So when you have a quiet time, you're going to be reading the Bible. It's not a book, it's the Bible. So these are some of the things that will happen. The next point is that when you have a quiet time, You're going to have a personal schooling of the word. So during the quiet time, you're going to be reading, you're going to be learning, you're going to be reading. And that's when he tells you things, he teaches you things, he shows you many wonderful things in his word. In John 16, verse 12, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, 13, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. So it's in that quietness, it's in that stillness, where you actually now begin to have a personal school of the word. You're paying attention to the word. You're reading the word. You're paying attention to what it says, what he says in his word. The next thing that happens also is that during a quiet time, you increase your personal knowledge of the scriptures. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's what Colossians 3:16 says. So in that, we're going to be paying attention and getting ourselves, you know, full of God's word. Listening to God's word. Hearing God's word. Enriching our souls and our minds with God's word. But somebody who does not have a quiet time is more likely to be poorly malnourished in God's word. So they can't understand. When you preach, they will not get it. And they also will not have that of knowing exactly what God's word is saying. So during a personal quiet time, you're going to be improving the personal knowledge of your scriptures, of the scriptures. Don't worry about whether it looks like you understand or you are still trying to out that. Don't worry about that. Just continually read and keep your mind stayed on it. Understanding comes to you. You see, now, I'm not bragging. It takes me less than 10 minutes. Like on a very easy day where I'm supposed to teach a sermon, it takes me less than 10 minutes to prepare a sermon. 10 minutes. Yeah. I bet I could use 3 minutes to 5 minutes to prepare a sermon. Yeah. But it was not like that before. Before I will have to sit down and we thank God for the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. But now, last week I spoke about faithfulness in ministry. So Ivan and Co were there and some other folks. I used less than 3 minutes to prepare a sermon. And I taught them. Yeah, less than 3 minutes. I just wrote the scriptures now. And like I said, many of the times I come to teach you, I don't even prepare. Like, I'm preparing to sit down and prepare with a book. I just come in. Yeah, many times. Many times. It's just few times I have to just actually outline what I have to teach. Very few times where I have to outline. Many times I just know what to do. But it wasn't like that before. So why am I saying this to you? You're going to get better at your understanding of God's word if you don't give up. You're going to get better. It's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer by the day. Yeah, if you don't stop. If you don't stop. It's going to get better and better and better by the day. But it first starts with having a quiet time where you're going to be paying attention to God's word. Paying attention to God's word. You're going to be thinking on God's word. So you're going to be increasing the knowledge of your scriptures. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 tells us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how are we going to grow if we do not take time pondering, listening, reflecting on God's word? How are we going to do that? So it is so important to have a quiet time. Anybody that tells you that it's not important to have a quiet time, they lied to you. They lied to you. You can't have an effective Christian walk without having an effective quiet time. So you're going to be increasing in the knowledge of the scriptures. You increase in the personal knowledge of God's word. You're adding to that faith virtue. And you're adding to virtue knowledge. You're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, another thing that happens during the quiet time is that you're going to be experiencing the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You're going to be convinced that the Lord is with you as you have a quiet time. I teach others, and I teach many of you, to be absolutely dependent on the Word. But there's things where you have experiences. And those experiences are true and they are real. Where is not now something that probably you know, something that you experience. So you're going to have a quiet time. A quiet time. A time where you're quiet. And you're going to be paying attention to God's word. Thinking on God's word. Reflecting on God's word. You must make sure this becomes something that you do on a very constant basis. Your walk with God depends on it so much. Your walk with God depends on it so much. So these are a number of things that happen when you have a quiet time. Adam experienced the Lord in the cool of the day. The voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. When they were quiet and still, and they heard the voice of the Lord. So you're going to be experiencing God's presence in a very amazing way as you have your quiet times, as you take time to listen to God's word, as you ponder on God's word. So when you wake up, put the phone down and pick your Bible. Or get a worship music just playing quietly as you think on God's goodness and on His word for you. And many times, because there's nothing like the presence of God, your life begins to experience fullness of joy as you experience His presence, fullness of direction as He makes His presence more evident and known to you. It becomes more real to you. When you find people say, "I'm confused about what to do," it means they're not paying attention to their quality time or their quiet time or their solitary moments with the Lord. Because you can't be confused when you consistently and frequently have a quiet time. You can't be confused. "Pastor, I don't even know what to do." No, you know what to do. You just haven't listened. "My sheep hears my voice," He says. So you hear His voice. If you are not hearing it, it's because you are not listening. It's not because He is not speaking. It's because you are not listening. But I know that there are going to be people who are going to be able to listen. With your quiet times, directions will happen. You experience directions. And you get to receive directions. And you begin to know what God wants you to do in the moment. You're never confused. Never in your life are you confused. Never in your life don't you know what to do. It's impossible. Because the Lord will always lay on your heart what to do. And when you do, communicate. Don't come to your pastor or somebody who teaches you and then you say, the Lord has told me to go and do this. I told you that that's not a wise submission. And once you bring in, you play out, the Lord has told me, can't, nobody can say anything again. No, you just say, I've been praying about this and I've been sensing this in my heart. Could you help me? Yeah, that's how you do it. You don't come and say, the Lord has told me. No, I've been praying about this. He's been coming to me. Pastor, please, I want to find out. Or say, please, I want to find out. I've been praying about this. You know, I've been praying about this. And it keeps coming to my heart. I just want some clarity. Could you pray with me? Could we get to know what God is saying concerning this matter? That's a wise disciple. There are quite a number of things I told God. I said, if you ever tell my pastor to tell me to stop something, I'll stop. I'll not go and do anything contrary. Because in as much as I hear from God, I'm also careful to know that there are others who probably hear God better than I do. So I don't argue on things that, you know, someone I believe that God sent to me says. I don't have arguments on those things. So it's in the quiet times where you're actually led by God's Spirit. You're in a fix. You don't know what decision to make, who to take, what to do. Consistently have a quiet time. There's going to be wisdom coming to you. So I want everybody to learn to have a quiet time. I'm going to be teaching you on some of the importance of having a quiet time tomorrow. And then also we'll look at patriarchs that had quiet times. It will amaze you on what I discovered. Yeah. So I want you to start to practice this. Even if you don't know how to do it, start it anyways. I've never done it before. Start it anyways. Anyhow, anyway, just start it. Do something. Also just sit down and be quiet. And say, Lord, my pastor says to read my Bible when I start having a quiet time. And then tomorrow or tomorrow next, we also might look at, you know, the strategies of having a quiet time, a practical strategies of having quiet time. But everybody should be able to start having a quiet time. Yes. Before you have that gist in the morning. Sometimes many of you gist meet you in the morning. 6:30. Brum, 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 brum. Gist partner one. Brum, 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 brum. Hey, Charlie, I've just woken up. Charlie, did you sleep well? I slept well. What's happening? Hey, have you heard? Just this morning now. 6:20, sharp, sharp, sharp. What's happening now? This girl, we all. 6:30, call came in. 8:45, the call is still on. By 8:45, they're down and they are already awake. So you are laughing all over the place, quack, 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 before you realize 9:20. Before you realize 10:02. So from 6 in the morning to 10:02, you never did anything. You never spoke to the first person who was God in your life. You started with a gist. And you started with a conversation. Some of us wake up to the kitchen. Your quiet time is always before a bowl. You don't even brush your teeth. It's before a bowl. So you wake up to wheat and milk. Yeah, that's what you wake up to. Just wake up. It's like the kitchen and your room is a swaying distance. So you just sway in there. And still with your sleepy eyes, you are cooling the wheat. You drink and finish, you go back to sleep again. And then you now wake up for good at 10:45 or 11:15. When you do this, I'm telling you, how are you going to? How are you going to do it? I don't want to use certain words. I say, how are you going to know God? How are you going to do it? How are you going to survive like this? This person is changing in Jesus' name. If you are the one listening to me, you are changing. In fact, you have changed. You don't wake up immediately to food. You don't do that. Conflicts with milk. That's what you wake up to. Hey. So you have some chips and biscuits and all of those you have in your series. You just wake up early in the morning. You're already with biscuits and cereals and conflicts and milk. That's your first starter pack. Small, small chips. Fridge, your bag, your rooms. Small, small thing. Choppables. You have choppables. So when you wake up now, it's a choppable you are going to. Some also have chocolate spreads and fine bread. They wake up to it with chocolate spread and bread. They spread the chocolate and the bread and they say, yes. God is just looking at you, saying, this is my son. At least talk to me in the morning. Let me just say something. Read my word. I wanted to say now, no quiet time, no breakfast. No quiet time, no breakfast. Don't say, I'm going to drink the tea and come and do my quiet time. That's why you sleep immediately after. You take the tea or something. You sleep again. No quiet time. No breakfast. So you wake up to a quiet time. Don't touch your phone. Quietly. As I tell you these things, me myself, I'm doing them. I don't even remember the last time I had breakfast. I'm telling you, gospel truth. Yeah. No quiet time. No breakfast. So we all are going to be having quiet times. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then you are building 30 minutes, up to 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Yeah. So we're going to start building. Everybody's going to start building from somewhere. And this thing I'm telling you, it will save you from a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. So right there in the quiet time, you'll see that your fears will dissipate. They go down the drain because you will receive reassurance of the Lord in that still small voice. In your heart, you will have reassurances of God and what He says about your life. So everyone is going to be having a quiet time. Everybody's going to be having a quiet time. Everybody's going to be having a quiet time. I had to speak to someone. I told the person, please, when you wake up, don't talk to me. It's one of the things that make me angry. Yeah, I get angry when somebody talks to me in the morning. Yeah, I get angry. Especially when the person is a talker. It's like we've just woken up and you want to be talking. I had to speak to someone like that. Not anybody here. The person is not here. I said, so you just wake up. You wake up to talking. I mean, how do you live your life like this? Like you wake up to actual talking. Like you just wake up. Hey, you wake up literally to talking. It's like the talk invites you into the day. Please no. Eh? He said, my pastor said we should have a quiet time. So give me 20 minutes. May I just sit down, reflect, read, stay on a passage of God's word, and I just think on that passage. And I read verses, chapters, and I read more chapters and more chapters. Some of you will begin to build more love for the Bible in your quiet times. It will start to make more meaning to you in your quiet times. So you're going to learn to have a quiet time. Everybody, are you listening? Everybody, everybody, everybody. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you. We are learning to have a quiet time. We take our listening seriously, Bible seriously. Some of you easily give up, and it pains me, but nobody is giving up in Jesus' name. Yeah, I made up my mind that, hey, I'll never stop. Some of you don't know. I'll never stop. Yeah, I'll never stop. Say, reading your Bible, say, I don't understand. I'll never stop. Then that's not understanding. It has to look for somewhere to hide. Because I'll never stop. It will leave one day. Yeah. That's my mind. Say, I've been reading my Bible. It's cloudy. Do you know how many years I've been reading my Bible and it was cloudy? Yeah. In fact, I started prophesying before I started making meaning of Bible. Yeah. Start flowing the gifts without reading Bible. To flow very well without Bible. So Bible, I had to stay on Bible. It never was clear to me. Yeah. Took a long time. Yeah, took a long time. Yeah, you can make a few meanings of what the scriptures are saying here and there, but it was never, the depth wasn't there. And I believe that as the years go by, the depths are even going to increase. You see things very clearly and well. But it starts with never giving up. You keep at it. Yeah, we'll read. Even if we don't understand, we'll still read. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll read. Say, well, Pastor, please, I read and I can't remember. Ah, do you know how many times I read and I couldn't remember? Many times. Still read. Start to commit it to memory. Start to put it in our hearts. We'll still read it. Yeah. So don't just be there and saying that today I had nothing for my quiet time. It was just quiet. What a blessing. At least you did have a quiet time. And if he never spoke to you, he's going to lead you in the activities of your day. And you're going to be more susceptible to God's leading in the Holy Spirit. So you're going to be a more likely candidate of his leading. Yes, when you have a consistent quiet time, rather than not have it at all. That one, he wants to, but your flesh prevents him from doing so. So never give up. Bible reading, never give up. Quiet time, never give up. Some of you start 5-10 minutes, you have already slept again, second round. Don't worry, get up again. The next day, say, no, I'm come to do quiet time. Quiet time. Yeah, quiet time. Quiet time. So, Pastor, I read a verse, I didn't understand. Keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading. It will come. It will come. I don't know how to explain it and tell you it will come. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. It will become more clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer to you by the day. Very soon, you will see that the brook is beginning to bring forth some water. If you don't stop. So we're going to consistently stay on having a quiet time. Are you listening? Consistently stay on having a quiet time. Yeah? Consistently stay on having a quiet time. Going to have a quiet time. So when my Bible is open, read the scripture, think about it. Just put yourself in the scripture. I'm going to show you that in a couple of days to come, how you're going to play around with the scriptures or with God's word. But be determined. See, everything you have to be determined with, you have to be determined. If not, you will never do anything if you're not determined. But I see you becoming determined. That's why on discipleship you don't stop. Because you are so determined. Yeah, I put myself in a position where there is nothing like I've done it. That's what I'm doing. That's all. Yeah, so we don't stop. Eh? We don't stop. Sometimes the devil will want to throw thoughts into your mind and make you feel like you don't. He's a liar. He wants you to stop. He's a liar. He wants you to stop. You will still continue. You will continue. So we all together as a ministry, we're going to be very loud on quiet times. Yeah. I'm going to be teaching it frequently, loud on quiet times. Start encouraging your people to have their quiet times as well. One of the very few questions you should ask them, what did you learn for your quiet time today? What did you read in your quiet time today? Pastor said we should have a very quiet time where we read. What did you read? I'm just interested. I just want to know. What did you read for your quiet time? Can you share your quiet time with me? It doesn't have to be very revelatory, like, and I saw a certain Greek word, the Greek word is this. No. Oh, I just read this thing and wow, it blessed my heart. I saw that Jesus did this, Jesus did that. And more applicatively, when I apply it to my life, it means I should be like Jesus. It means I should do like that. Then you're moving forward. Then the word is transforming, reforming you. Be renewed by the transformation of your mind. Do that having a quiet time. Whose appetite is being whetted to have a quiet time? So you're going to learn to be quiet. Yeah, learn to be quiet. Learn to be quiet. Learn to have a quiet time. Yeah, everybody, do it. Let your parents know that, mommy, now I have a quiet time. So when I wake up for the first 20 minutes, I have a quiet time. And so I'm reading my Bible. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible. Right, for 20 minutes, I'm done. So quiet times are important. They are important. The Lord is granting you wisdom and helping you to have a very effective quiet time. And you will have your growth move, jump shoot from one level to another as you keep this in consistency. You'll have certain habits dealt with just by the Lord speaking to you on how to go about it in your quiet time. You'll have God's leading come to you as to the things to do and how to do the things you ought to do while you have your quiet time. You're going to receive certain confirmations, affirmations, endorsements by God's Spirit. Sometimes refutings and cautions as you have a quiet time. Confusions will be dissipated. They will disappear. And you will be confident to pursue all that God has for you and for your life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.